the man that says what the people need to hear.
Somebody need to hear this.
That's right.
He's going to be bringing you the word each and every week. You better not only be ready, but stay ready.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
The time is up. It's the moment you've been waiting for. He's here. It's the Raw and Uncut Podcast with Pastor Radden. Service starts now.
Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this fifth Sunday, God, this youth Sunday on today, God. Father God, we come here, Father God, first of all, to give you glory, to give you praise, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are worthy, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, God. We thank God for each and every one that are here, God, that's here on today, God, this morning, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the children that are here, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We thank you for all that they do, God, from the playing of instruments, God, to the praise dancing, Heavenly Father, to the prayer, to the announcements, God, to the ushering, hallelujah, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that our children, Heavenly Father, they work in church, Heavenly Father, Lord. They have an idea of what church is supposed to be like, God. So when they get older, Heavenly Father, as our pastor said, God, we got to train them up. Because they are watching us in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you watch our steps, God. That we set a good example in praising and worshiping you, God. That our youth will see how it's supposed to be done in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, we love you and we praise you. We give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, amen. Hallelujah on this youth Sunday, amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank God for our pastor, amen. When that was a beautiful appetizer, if you want to call it that, amen. Hallelujah, God. She had to talk about that, and every word that she said was true. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to talk to my son Elijah. He's in Virginia, or they're probably on their way back now, amen, because he was always a bigger kid than the rest of the children. I used to talk to him about bullying, because that's normally who the bullies be, the bigger children and whatnot, but he's pretty much labeled as a gentle giant, but I used to talk to him, especially when he was in elementary school, because he was so much bigger than the other kids and whatnot, and I would tell him to not to do that type of things, because, as I always tell youth, children come back to school now with guns now.
Yes,
those that are getting bullied and things of that nature, and just like Pastor said, we lost the fifth grade on this week, amen, hallelujah, for some, probably more than likely, something that's totally unnecessary, amen, so you definitely have to keep that family in prayer, because I don't think nobody can imagine getting a phone call like that. Mm-hmm. Amen. After you send your baby off to school and get that type of phone call that something's going on, they got to be rushed to the hospital and things of that nature. Amen. So we have to talk to our children. And sometimes those that are not bullying, they instigate by laughing and keep it egging on and things of that nature. So you do, because you don't know. You're not with your children. Because everybody will say, not my child. They ain't doing none of that. You would just assume that. And they could be at school acting a pure fool, instigating all kinds of stuff, being a spark plug. Mm-hmm. But you'll never know. Hallelujah, God. Because you know some people just keep stuff started. Yeah. And we know kids that's like that, always laughing and egging things on. And we have to talk to them. Hallelujah, God. And amen. And we have to be approachable that our children can come to us and talk to us instead of saying that mom and dad don't understand.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You have to be approachable. You have to let them know. I used to go to the point where I say, I don't care if anybody's bothering you at school, a bully, a grown-up. They might say that we're going to kill your parents or whatnot. I say, you tell us anyhow.
That's right.
I'm not worried about all that. You just tell us. That's and when right. I used to talk to them about that, and praise be to God, I've never had any issues with all four of my children. You know, Elijah's our youngest. He's 14. He'll be in high school next year. But especially when they was younger, never had to go through all of that. Amen. And sadly and unfortunately, some people do have to go through that. Hallelujah. But see, as a matter of fact, it kind of ties in what the word is going to be about this morning. Amen. Because I will talk about loving your neighbor. Amen. And we have to teach our children, amen, to love those and to help people. Amen. And they might not be your closest friend.
That's right.
They might not be the same race. Hallelujah, God. Because, you know, black and white children are play together till they get told something.
Come on.
How many of us know that?
That's right, man.
They will play with a whole nother race of people until they get told something or hear something.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's why we have to be careful about the words that come out of our mouth. Amen. Right. Hallelujah, God. Because I know as a boy and when I was in elementary school, I didn't know nothing about that. Had plenty of white friends I would play with and different things. That was the furthest thing from my mind and the furthest from their mind.
That's right.
You didn't know until you hear something or see something on TV, and that's when the innocence is gone.
That's right.
And it's sad. They have pictures of that on Facebook. They'll show little black and white kids playing and say they'll do this all day long until somebody tells them something. Mm-hmm. And it's sad about that, amen.
Right.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about that today. And we have to teach our children that, because see, you get bullied, you'll start building up that hate, and you'll have hate or resentment toward that individual.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And see, coming out of Matthew, even with grown folks, amen, we'll be coming more out of the book of Luke today, but I'm going to say this scripture in Matthew. We'll be coming out of Luke, amen. But right now, Matthew in the 5th chapter, mm-hmm. and just that one verse in 5:44, and I always talk about it, amen. And I seen something on Facebook one time, the things that people say, and it's mainly talking about this scripture right here, Matthew 5:44, when it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Mm-hmm. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you."
Amen.
See, our children have to know that we can't grow up hating people.
Amen.
Because the word says God is love.
That's right.
And see, and children, they'll come up hating, especially one another. They'll hate people that's so mean and cruel. They'll hate people and whatnot. And we have to let them know that that's not right. See, I seen something that said, because you got so much, there's a lot of hate toward Christianity. We don't see it often every day like that, but sometimes you won't know it until you read about it. And somebody had mentioned once, some people think that Christianity was a tool to use against, for the slaves to be passive and won't act out against their slave owners.
Amen.
And somebody had once said in here, how could you love your enemies? It sounds like your enemy wrote that, to love your enemy. Seemed like that would come from an enemy to write something like that to keep you under control, to love your enemies and whatnot. I'm like, and you'll be, I mean, people think like that. Because I guess they figure that there's no way you can love somebody that hates you.
All right.
And yet the word clearly tells us to love your enemies,
mm-hmm.
to pray for them.
That's right.
And we have to teach our children to do as such, because they're watching us, they hear the language. They see us. They see what we see on TV and different things. That's why I say we have to be the example. This is our future right here. For the most part, for everybody that's grown, maybe 50 years or older, or 45, my age and whatnot, 50 years from now, who you think will be running all the churches? We are in our 90s? If we still living that long?
Come on.
50 years from now, who you think will be running everything? These youngsters in here, for the most part, and youngsters all over the state and the nation, and the world, those that are in elementary age school right now, those that are elementary age right now, the 5th graders, the 3rd graders, the 2nd graders, and if we not showing no love, if we not showing no praise and worship, where they gonna get it from?
All right.
That's why it's very imperative to keep them youngins in school, hallelujah God, or in church, amen, so they can see that. So we have them up here saying the prayer. We have them playing the instruments. We have them doing the dancing right now. They will keep that up as they get older because we're training them up. Hallelujah. And they see how it's supposed to be. Hallelujah, God. I played the drums when I was a teenager.
Come on.
Every Sunday I was playing the drums. I can't beat them worth a lick now because I stopped. That take practice. You got to keep up with that stuff. Hallelujah, God.
Amen.
As I told you with, I think I told you she passed away and our mother Henderson, she could come here with my mother. She said she used to watch me beat the drums. That's how she played. By watching me, I said, you never know who's watching you.
That's
and
right.
I was a teenager, just beating them up, tearing them up. But then I went into the military and all that, and then I stopped playing. And I done got all out of rhythm and stuff and all of that type of stuff.
Amen.
But nevertheless, I was in church and I was working. Hallelujah, God. And I was trained up and I saw how I was supposed to be. And that's what we have to do.
Come on.
Because kids, as we know, we'll say that kids can be so cruel. You know, don't go be a teenager or a child that got a bunch of acne and bumps and pimples all in your face.
Amen.
You ain't nothing but a target. Mm. Amen. And you looking at one right here that was a target. I had to get my medication from Fort Jackson. I was all jacked up and whatnot. Bumps in my face, chest, and back.
Wow.
And whatnot. Pizza face, moon pie. They call me all kind of stuff.
Oh.
And y'all wonder why I'm like how I am not. I used to, boy, I tell you, I used to catch it. And whatnot. Some days I'm smooth, and next thing you know, I'm all rocky road.
Wow.
Sometimes it happened that way. I lost girlfriends like that because of acne.
Whoa,
right. Talking about I had AIDS and that type of food. I had to go through that stuff. I know how cruel kids can be.
Yes.
But I wasn't that victim because I used to laugh with them clowns, and I used to be right there with them because we were brought up that way. We were brought up that way. We have bullies back then, and we have people out there. But as Pastor said, this is a different day and age now.
All right.
Kids today might not be able to take what I took. Hallelujah, God. But see, I stood in that with it. And we still all close to this day and whatnot. But see, I kept using that medication. I said, this mess got to go. I got to get rid of that stuff. Hallelujah, God. Because kids are cruel. I know how they can be. And whatnot. And we have to. I mean, we had a Bible study one time, and me and Minister Josh and Sister Robinson were talking about it. I believe Pastor Bishop was out that day. But we were talking about something with kids and whatnot. And Minister was saying that kids, I was just telling my wife that as we were pulling up, that whatever the day that is, that's what they feel like being. If I feel like being a boy this day, that's what I'm going to be. If I feel like sitting down to pee today and I'm a boy, that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
And whatnot. A girl feel like being a boy that day. You see they letting girls all into the Boy Scouts and just all kinds of stuff. And all kind of messes going on that day.
Wow.
Because see, you have, and the reason why it seems like we have so much trouble with it in my generation, because you have baby boomers right here in this generation. Mm-hmm. I came up behind them with Generation X, and we was raised up by the baby boomers and those before that generation. So we were still raised up kind of old school. And that's why it seems like it's hard to wrap our head around this stuff that's going on, how you can just use whatever bathroom you want to and all of that type of stuff. And a lot of times it starts small because parents figure if that's what they want to be, just let them be that. But as little boys, we got to teach them children at a young age who they are and be proud of who they are.
That's right.
You don't let little boys walk around in mama's shoes when they're 2 years old.
Amen.
You got to pick them up and say, no, you don't put on these right here.
Thank you.
You don't do that right there.
That's
and you
right.
got to let them know that that's not cute.
That's right.
That's not cute at all. A 2 year old boy in high heel shoes, no. Mess around and think that's normal. Then he'll think that's normal. You can't do that and playing with dolls and all that if he has older sisters. You got to stop that at an early age.
That's right.
But see, we have to teach our children and train them up the right way. Now see, we're going to go to Luke 10 and starting at verse 25. See, I'm going to talk about the Good Samaritan today. And these children need to know that because, see, there's some things that's going on that they need to know about some hate and different things. Hallelujah, God.
Because
you might be put in a spot where you have to help somebody that you know that don't like you or not the same color as you.
Come on.
Hallelujah, God. And our children don't need to be learning hate at such a young age.
That's right.
Hallelujah, God. So you start from Luke in the 10th chapter and the 21st verse. Mm-hmm. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, talking to Jesus, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
All right.
And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering and said, and something that we all should know, because this is basically Old Testament here coming out of the book of Deuteronomy, it says, thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.
All right.
See, first and foremost, our children, and we have to love the Lord with everything that we got.
Amen.
It says, with all your heart and soul, and your strength and your mind. Hallelujah, God. You have to love the Lord, and our children have to grow up learning how to love the Lord and putting God first. And he says, he said to them, thy answer is right. This do, and you shall live. He said, but he willingly to justify himself, Jesus, and he said that, who is my neighbor? See, he wanted to know, and Jesus answered and said, and that's where he gets into the parable. But it says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now people get jumped on and left on the side of the road. Don't know whether they're alive or dead. Robbers, sadly, you still have that going on today.
Amen.
And the word says, and by chance, came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, saints of God, this is supposed to be a man of God seeing somebody in need of help. And decided to go on the other side of the street. And said, that's why you have now the Good Samaritan law. Talking about this very same scripture. Do you not know if you see somebody in an accident, you're supposed to render help? If you see a nasty accident, something bad. No matter what you're doing, where you're going, or how fast you're supposed to get there, if you see a car rolling over or spinning in a nasty accident, do you not know it's against the law? If somebody see you going away and not rendering help, wow. It's the Good Samaritan law. You better look that up. I take defensive driving course and different things and something, and we talk about that. A Good Samaritan law. That's the law. Amen. You are supposed to render help if you didn't know that. Okay. You would want somebody to help you?
Come on.
Would you not?
Amen.
If you was in an accident like that and you couldn't move and you bleeding from the head and you can't move and all that, wouldn't you want at least somebody to call 911? Do you realize how many people say accident? A bad one to just keep riding? Mm-hmm. Maybe you have done that. Just see something bad, boom! Like, ooh, man, that's nasty. And keep going. Don't call 911 to say where the accident is at, what intersection. Wouldn't you want somebody to help you? Because then now that's going to be longer for the ambulance to get there. Good Samaritan law, you're supposed to help people, saints of God. Where's your love at? In the world, you're going to have children and say that was an accident, but we got to go. We late. That individual, they need help. It might be a child in the back seat.
Amen.
But you just riding alone.
Be late.
And somebody just there because we late wherever it is you go. Ooh. Come on now. We supposed to be Christian children of God.
Amen.
You're supposed to help people if they get in an accident.
Amen.
It said the priest came by and walked to the other side. A priest, somebody who worships and praise God. And the next one wasn't even no better. It said, and likewise, a Levite, when he saw at the place, came by and looked on him and passed on the other side. A Levite, another person of God. That's two people that is supposed to be men or women of God, no matter what they are, and they walk by. Didn't even render aid. Didn't say a stranger. A priest and a Levite. That's shameful. To walk on the other side. Because the whole question is, well, who is my neighbor? But see, you talking about Jews and Jerusalem and Samaria. See, as Bishop was saying in Bible study the other night, so you got to get into that history when you know your Bible. They didn't get along. If you look at the woman in the well and Jesus, they were two separate, they didn't get along, two races of people, or two different nationalities and whatnot. She wanted to know why he was over there helping her, talking to her, and whatnot. In this case, you got a Jew and a Samaria. They didn't get along. And before I get back to it, just to give you some food for thought, you know, there was an episode on the Jeffersons. An episode on the Jeffersons. Well, George didn't know it, but he was invited to a Klan meeting by Tom. And Tom Willis didn't know, for those of you know who Tom is, that watch the Jeffersons. Tom was talking to the man and said, you will love my friend George. Tom didn't know he was a Klansman, though. And the crowd started laughing and whatnot. And George went to the meeting and whatnot. And they were talking. And George said, yeah, that's right. And you know, they looking at it all funny and whatnot. But when he messed around and called George a boy or something like that, you know how George is. He got all upset. But at any rate, the man ended up having a heart attack. And George gave him CPR. And was on there and giving him CPR and revived him. And when the ambulance came and he was on the gurney, and he looked at his son, and his son told him, said that this man here helped you. And he looked at his son and he said, he helped me? He said, you should have let me die. And you should have heard the crowd like, oh, like that right there. And George said, see, they'll never learn. I mean, he said that. Could you help somebody like that knowing that they hate you? Would you render CPR to somebody and you know he's a known hatred of your color? He or she, for that matter. You know they can't stand you. And they fall right in front of you clutching their heart or whatever the case may be. Can you render CPR to help them, to restore them, to bring them back to life? Or at least try to, at least attempt to. And he did. And then when they come, he said, you should have let me die if you don't want that saved. Mm-hmm. How would that make you feel? And first of all, would you even render help to that person? We have to let our loved ones know Because that's another thing, if you know CPR, you're obligated to help somebody as well.
Amen.
You done took that course, and you carry that card in a restaurant or whomever it may be, if they choking, you are ready to go over there and help. Excuse me, can I help you? I know CPR, I'm trained in it. Supposed to be able to do that. Can you help a white supremacist? Can you help a skinhead, a Nazi? Can you help a Klansman if they're falling out dead? Or whatever the case may be. Can you do that? Christians? Followers of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Can you do that? We just read to love your enemies.
Amen.
That's scripture. Pray for them that despitefully use you.
Amen. Lord, forgive me.
Can you do that? Christians? There's a reason why God chose you. I done told you 1,000 times.
Preach it now.
Everybody's not willing to do that.
Everybody
can't do that. And they will not do that.
You're right.
But you are chosen.
Chosen.
For a reason. Everybody's not chosen.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you have these Bible studies. That's why you have, so you can read this stuff and get it in you over and over and over. Because if a situation like that arises,
We got to do it.
What are you going to do? Or if it is a car accident, and you see it, and you get out and run over there, and he got on his white robe. He just ain't got on the hood. He on his way to a rally. What do you do now and bleed out the head?
Call
911. Keep your phone in your pocket.
Call 911, good man, call.
You go over there, he got on his robe. Just ain't got on the hood, but he got on the hood laying over there in the passenger seat. What do you do? You see an accident, you go over there and go, oh, goodness, it's a Klansman. Now what? You just walk back to your car and just casually drive off? Christians?
Be real.
Love your neighbor.
That's right.
That's what the topic is. That's what the man asked Christ. That's why Jesus gave him this example. Two men of God, two Christians, walk past somebody laying on the side of the road and did not render help. And the least likely of a person came by and rendered help. It says, but a certain man, a certain Samaritan,
there it is,
as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
That's it, compassion.
Now that sounds like the Christian thing to do. And went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beset, a beast, and brought him, I set him on his own beast, I'm sorry, which he had obviously a donkey or a horse there, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Are you willing to help somebody that doesn't like you or look like you? Take good care of them and render aid 911. Or if you trained in that profession, would you be able to help them like this? This man here took him to a place. And it says, on the morrow, in verse 35, he departed, took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host. And said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Took him to the place and paid for his well-being. Took him to the inn, paid for him to stay there, and then told the man, if you run out of money, I'll give you more money to take care of. Yeah. Now that's the one that we follow, Jesus Christ. And look at this example here, what this man did. Took him to the place. Obviously, you got to pay for him to stay in the place, and gave him some money to say, take care of. And if you run out of money, I'll come back to give you some more. A man that he don't even know, a total stranger.
That's it.
Opposite race, opposite nationalities. That's why they call it the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan taking care of a man from Jerusalem, a Jew, and they don't even get along as countries. And he still yet did. And then that's when he asked, he says, now, which one of these, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Boy, Jesus will get you every time.
All right.
You're not going to ask him something and trip him up and get him to scratching his head He said, out of all of that, which one was his neighbor? Now, the two men that saw him, that wasn't but what you call a neighbor. But the neighbor, the one that's the most least likely to help, that's the neighbor.
That's it.
Hallelujah, God. I'm laying down half dead, and two people of my same complexion or same race walk past me. But a whole other race of people, be it Asian, be it Native American, be it whomever, be it Caucasian white, come over and help me. But two black guys don't walk past me.
Come on, break it down.
That's my own people. Like my man said in New Jack City, you're killing your own people. Y'all know that verse.
Yeah. Break it down.
My own people gonna walk past me, but it's another race and nationality that's gonna help me out. Would you not be grateful if that was to happen? You know, like they said, you know, if you drown and you don't care what hand it is to help you get out of that water.
Come on, damn it.
You ain't gonna turn that white hand away. You ain't gonna slap it out your face while you're drowning, sucking up water. You'll be glad to grab that hand or that rope.
Amen.
To get out of there. It don't matter. Okay. If you're starving, do it matter who's feeding you.
Come on.
As long as you're getting food. Does it matter? Are you that hard, you that militant, where it just got to come from your own people? And this is the type of stuff we have to teach our children.
That's right.
Not to be militant, because they see you with your militant behind, they're going to grow up like that.
Come on.
Hating a certain race of people.
Yeah,
because you always got something negative to say about a certain race. They see it and they hear it.
That's right. Yes.
You have to tell them to show love and compassion. You have to. Because they see it, saints. I didn't know a lot about that stuff till I started seeing things on TV. Amen. And whatnot. My parents never did tell me to hate another race. Or don't do this or don't do that. But you have some parents that will. Don't fool with them. Don't play with them. Not because they bad and that, all because of their race.
That's right.
If you've ever done that, shame on you, and you need to repent about that.
Amen.
Children are innocent. Like I say, they don't know, they don't care. They will play all day long. You know, you play little league basketball and stuff, the coach and them, they'll come out and say, these kids will play together all day long until the parents start acting a fool. And it's sad when you have to get parents escorted out of the gymnasium for yessing and cussing out the referee. Over 7 and 8 year olds playing.
Amen.
You mad at the referee. Really? And you gotta get tossed out till the police got to come and escort you out of there?
Oh, wow. Help us, Lord. Help.
Over fifth graders and fourth graders? I don't say nothing in them games. I see that they make bad calls at the professional level.
Amen.
These cats only get just a few dollars a game to volunteer to do this. The coaches volunteering. Parents getting on the coaches at little league football games. Parents, the kids see that stuff.
That's right. Yeah, they see it.
You acting a fool over missed calls. Down there off of Lanham Mountain, right down there, some years ago when Elijah was like in the fifth grade, man, and a nasty melee broke out. I mean, this dude rushed the court and started beating on the referee.
Wow.
Fifth graders.
Oh, wow. What kind of stuff is that?
Police got to come and escort him. Now you got to go to jail and spend all kinds of money. Because of fifth graders? And you mad because of bad calls? Oh, they cheating. And the referee got something to gain out of that, out of darn elementary school players.
No.
Rushing the court to beat the referee, and our youngsters see that stuff. Kids running scared, don't know what's going on. And you got to go out there and grab your child because they don't know what's going on. Because everybody rushing the court. Over that type of stuff. Hatred. Children don't need to see that. But yes, this is a cruel and evil world. Yes, they're going to see some things. Yes, they're going to experience some things. But we have to do the best we can to raise up our youth not to be hateful toward each other and another race.
Amen.
They must learn to love one another. And especially for those that don't like them. We talked about that back in that room back there. When I was with them, we talked about the Good Samaritan a couple of weeks ago, about helping those that don't even like you. And see, as Pastor was talking about bullying and all of that, that can be very cruel, because sadly, there's too many youngsters taking their life because of bullying.
Amen.
They got all kind of campaigns out there, all kind of commercials. They're trying to stop this. It looks like it just keeps going and going and going. It's sad because I was in the elementary school. I didn't know how to kill myself in the fourth grade. Know how to take myself out. I didn't witness it, didn't know nothing about it, didn't see it. You got kids today taking themselves out at 10 and 11 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm 10 years old, I didn't know how to kill myself at 10. I didn't know nothing about slitting a wrist or hanging myself. But sadly, they know about that. How be it on TV, be it computers, or hearing other kids talk about it. Sadly, some of them witness it because sometimes it's the child that found the person that didn't do anything. Sadly, and that messes with them. But we have to train them. Once again, I can't get that in enough. Got to continue to train them, continue to bring them to church, continue to talk to your children, grandkids, nieces, nephews, cousins about bullying.
Amen.
If their attitude change or whatever, they more sullen, they not saying nothing. They down, you know that ain't your child. You know your child is lively. They like to run around. They perked up. Now all of a sudden they all sad all the time. Something's wrong. Those are warning signs.
Amen.
Don't want to go to school all of a sudden. Those type of things.
Amen.
Something's going on. And we as adults, even if you find out what the problem is, and you have an opportunity to talk to the parents, don't show out, Christians. Let's be grown about it. If your child is the one that is being bullied, let's be grown about it and talk to them just to let them know. You ain't got to show out, be the loudest one in the room. What that's going to solve? And if it's the other way around, might be your child that's doing the bullying and the adults come talk to you. Because obviously you didn't know that. And you got to let them know we will take care of that. I guarantee you it won't happen no more.
Amen.
Start taking things away. Start firing up their behind and let them know.
There you go. Amen.
That child mess around and come back and shoot you. You got to let them know that's serious.
Mm-hmm.
So many people got these pistols laying around and these kids know where the lockbox is at and you ain't keeping it locked.
Right.
They know where to get it. They know where it's at and they bringing it to school. So once again, talk to your children, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and cousins, or whomever. Talk to them, aunties and uncles. You bullying, let them know. Let auntie know now.
Right.
So I can get with your mom and dad about it, whatever. Because sometimes they might come to the auntie or the uncle instead of the parents.
That's right.
Or whatever the case may be. So this is a serious thing, and I pray that our children got something out of this to help, learn to help. The Bible says to love your enemies and to pray for them. Nobody said it was easy. But it's something we got to get that love in our heart to do that. Because Christ took all that abuse and didn't say nothing. Slapped in the face, drug, beat down, and all of that.
Come on,
and didn't say
on.
Nothing. And still yet said forgive them. Because they know not what they do. And he chose you to be the same way and to follow in his footsteps. Hallelujah.